We've all had fierce and formidable women in our lives who have shaped who we are now. The Tech and Learning's Honor Roll podcast is dedicated to celebrating women who have shaped the education landscape more than you can possibly imagine. Who better to host this conversation than Drs. Keisha Ray and Frances Gibson, two fierce and formidable women who have been driving innovation in the field of the education world for more than 30 years. Please welcome our hosts, Drs. Keisha Ray and Frances Gibson.
Welcome to episode number 41 of Tech and Learning's Honor Roll, a podcast that celebrates fierce and formidable women in education. I'm Keisha Ray.
And I'm Frances Gibson. And indeed, fierce females it is today. So excited to be with our guest, Allison Powell. And Keisha, I think you have known Allison for quite some time. So will you do us the honor of introducing Allison to our learning community?
Yes, I surely will. Allison and I have been around the block one or two times. She is incredible, starting her career in schools, but moved into national leadership positions. So currently, she's the Chief Operating Officer of Evergreen Education Group, and that group is responsible for leading the Digital Learning Collaborative. If you haven't heard about that, you need to check it out, especially if you're into online and blended or hybrid learning. And I'm sure Allison's going to fill us in on that too. She's the former senior learning strategist for Bloomboard, Rethinking PD and Licensing. And I'm sure you've heard a lot about that work. She's a former vice president of iNACOL. And I can remember our very first iNACOL meeting in Chicago in a cafeteria. The amazing work that happened from that point to now is incredible. And she, as I mentioned, taught and helped build the Clark County School District's virtual high school and an online PD program for the Nevada School District. She served as a board member for several organizations. She completed her doctorate from the beautiful campus of Pepperdine University in EdTech and leadership. Her dissertation is incredible. And if you ever have enough time to take a read, it's a really, really wonderful piece of work.
So Keisha, you are correct. We are super lucky to have Allison with us today. Almost as lucky as she was to study at the beautiful Pepperdine campus, looking at the Malibu coast. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of great cross-country connections in this episode. You know, Allison, we are so fortunate. We get to meet with all of our guests and really in many ways, inspire and create virtual mentors. And we do this through a pattern of M's, where we explore leadership models together. And we look at this pattern through things like our mentors, some mavericks, and some movements that we should be looking at. And of course, when it comes to looking at things, who do you see when you look in the mirror as a leader? So this is our honor roll pattern of M's. And sometimes also, Allison, we find that we use some edubabble, some language that perhaps our audience needs to know more about. And so in your bio, there was this thing about a DLC. I think it stands for Digital Learning Collaborative. Welcome to the show. Can you tell us more about what that is? Let's get excited about your story.
Hi, thanks. And thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. The DLC, as Keisha said, was the Digital Learning Collaborative, and that is a membership association that's focused on improving the field of online and blended learning for K through 12 students. And so we do a lot of networking, the research, we host an annual conference, do a lot of PD and sharing out of just kind of promising practices in the field.
Yeah, I like to get in on the beginning of everything Allison does. That's just the way, we roll.
I like to start new things. So it's a lot of fun. So we get together a lot.
Yes. Awesome.
All right, my friend, let's get started with our M's that Frances described. And let's talk first about role models. Can you share who your role models are and why?
I've probably had a lot, but the two that stand out are from when I was a little girl. I wanted to be an astronaut, and Sally Ride, awesome. But Sally Ride was the first American astronaut, and I became obsessed, almost stalkerish, my mom said. Like, I would write her letters every week just to find out more about her and her adventures in space and how she got there. And probably after about 5 months, she started writing back. It took like a lot of time. And so I have like, I still have my picture and signed autograph and letters from her. So she just was just an inspiration to me just as a little girl. And I wanted to be just like her growing up. And then as I think, depending on the situation, I have lots of different role models as well. I'm a huge sports fan. And another role model is Russell Wilson. I think he's just gone through a lot. I had the privilege of meeting his mom, and his father passed away. He's always been like that underdog, but just has figured out a way to be successful, but also do a lot of community service wherever he's located, whether it was where he grew up, where I lived for a while, or in Seattle, or wherever he's at. And so it inspires me to want to be a better person and kind of just keep working hard.
Sounds like service is incredibly important to you, and being an innovator. Mm-hmm. So I love your Sally Ride story. As you heard me, I had a little woohoo in that moment. I have a picture with Ellen Ochoa. And so we actually named a school after her. And she came out and visited and actually mentors our students. So you've got some great sheroes out there that are out of this world, shall we say.
Very cool.
So as you think about some of these mentors that you've also had in your life, what have you learned from them, and how do they keep inspiring you?
Probably my first real mentor, like professionally, was, her name's Joni Burt. She's now, I'm going to put a call out for her. She's another fierce, powerful woman who's now the state superintendent in Nevada. But we started the virtual high school together there, and just was my very first professional role model. Like, I had great principals and great teachers throughout my life, but she really taught me how to be a professional woman. Like, I was young and inexperienced, and just kind of got thrown into the situation. And she really helped me with the problem solving, was kind of very motherly as well, just living somewhere new for the first time, and really helped take it from like showing me how, like, every step of the way to start something small and grow it and build it into something bigger. And then another one during my doctoral program, I had a professor, he just recently passed away, but he kind of got me to see the broader picture outside of education and how education is important to the rest of the world and how all of the pieces fit together, and just to think bigger and everything that we're doing. And so I think those two have really shaped my career and where I've gone and helped along the way and made me the person who I am today.
And I know Joan well too, and if I were picking a mentor, she would be the one that I would pick too. She's really phenomenal. Yeah. And you have grown so much. I mean, just in the time that I've known you, and I'm sure you know, we both just evolved.
Exactly. It's
like so weird to think back of when we first met and where we are today compared to then. Because I don't think either one of us could have imagined that we would be or have had the influence that we've had over our, you know, just the field of education. So when did you look at, I know it's weird. This sounds like a fun thing. And then you look back and you're like, dang, that was a whole movement we started.
Exactly.
So when did you look in the mirror and think, gosh, I've become a leader?
I'd probably go back to high school days. In middle school, like, I was always the go-getter and like involved in everything, whether it's sports or activities or clubs. But then in middle school, I got really shy. I don't know what happened or why, but it was just a weird thing, a weird phase. I guess everybody's weird in middle school, but I chose to go hide and become shy. And then in high school, people kept coming to me and like asking for advice or telling me to run for student government, or, and it got me out of my shell. And I was like the captain of all the sports teams I was on. And I was like, why is everybody coming to me? And like, and so it made me really reflect, but I was still kind of young, but it was kind of like, that was the very first experience. And then like as an adult, more in my career, when I was running the virtual school, I was fresh out of college. I had just taught a couple of years. Everybody, I was the boss kind of, and everybody there was male, older than me, like my dad's age. And I was joking around with one of the guys that we were working with, and somebody overheard us and got offended and just kind of pulled me aside and was like, hey, like, you, I know you want to be fun and like get to know each, like get to know all of us better, but it was just like, he just really talked to me about like, hey, you're the leader, we all look up to you, like this isn't like appropriate here. And so it was just kind of like a reality check, like, okay, I was young and immature, but it was like, okay, all these older people that have way more experience and all this are actually looking up to me now, and I need to lead them forward in all of this. So kind of those two experiences, I think, are when I, like, when it really set in, like, okay, like, you are a leader here.
So part of that leadership lesson is really being incredibly introspective, mm-hmm. and realizing that sometimes you're called to leadership, right? Yeah. Even at these very early stages. And how beautiful it was that you had folks that were also honest with you in that process.
Oh, definitely. Too, right?
I'm sure that carries forward, as I've heard from Keisha and yourself in your leadership work. You know, you are a powerful woman. And as you mentioned, even though middle school was a little weird, you've been a leader ever since. And I'm curious, how are you seeing that women are changing the world? But so much of our podcast is about empowering women, especially in the field of education. But we also look outside of education as well. How do you see women changing the world?
I mean, just like you guys on here, like, I think through education, we're touching everyone, not just here in the U.S., but internationally. Been working with Keisha, like she said, for decades now, like aging us. But and then like the leader of INACL, which is now the Aurora Institute, Susan Patrick. I was just doing an event with Heather Staker last week, and it's just kind of all of these powerful women, and education usually has more leadership, women leaders. But I think we're just trying to change a system that's been around for hundreds, thousands of years, and just connecting with each other and making it more of a powerful group, spreading the word all over the world, not just having a focus here on the US, but making changes everywhere. And it's working with one person at a time in each school or district, state, country, wherever we are doing it, and building those relationships with people and getting them to buy into the idea that we do need to change and do what's best for kids. I think it's just working together. I think life's all about relationships, and building those relationships is how we get the change made.
And I'm wondering, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of women who are also kind of disrupting the system. I think of Jill Biden. I mean, mm-hmm. I've met her. I think you've met her. And
I haven't.
You haven't? Oh, wow.
No. You need to make the intro.
You've met her, right? Yeah. I mean,
yep,
she's so approachable. She's so like down. She's a teacher. She's a professor. She's just like us, you know, but she's in one of the highest positions a woman can hold, you know, in our country. And she's really having an influence over, you know, just the way things were handled at Uvalde, the response that I believe that was provided there, just so much of what she's done. So are there other people that you can think of, women, of course, that are kind of disrupting the system from their position?
There's the one, like, everyone knows Malala, like changing the education for girls, just her experiences and her being younger too, I think, helps. And she's just so passionate and just eloquent, and I think is doing a really good job of changing education and giving access to for everybody, kind of similar to what we're doing, but just in a different way. Outside of education, again, I said I'm a big athlete, sports fan. And I think, too, the U.S. women's soccer team is making a really big difference in just equality and pay for women. And their recent lawsuit, now that they're getting equal pay to the men for doing the same job. And so I just really look up to them and what they're doing and trying to make that change and try to look at other fields and how we can emulate some of that to make those changes in education as well.
Yeah, sports make such a big difference in the lives of our girls and women. I'm so glad you made those connections. Of course, I have a lot of personal connections. And as we think about also, there's been a lot of celebratory talk lately about Title IX and how far we've come in this space and also the work that still needs to be done. And for so many, sports is also a great self-care move. Yeah. And we know that to be the fierce females that we all are, but we'll focus on you, Allison. How do you take care of yourself? My hunch is that this is part of your story, but what can we learn from you? What should we start putting into our own practice so that we can stay fierce?
This one's still, I struggle with it, but I'm trying to be better. I need to be better at saying no to things. I want to make everybody happy and help out in any way that I can. So that is something I'm trying to practice, is being better at saying no. But lately, I've been just trying, even if it's only 1 hour a day, like I try to do more than 1 hour, but if it's 1 hour, I really love to swim. Like, that's my time. Nobody can bother you underwater. Like, it's just time to clear my head and just focus on me, but also getting some kind of exercise in as well. I'm also a big golfer, and so the weekends I try to, right now it's a little too hot here in Phoenix, but I try to get out and golf or hit some balls. And I just love being around people, so it's a social sport, so I can get out and talk, or even if it's just reading a fun book or watching some reality stupid TV show. But just trying to get at least 1 hour a day where it's not work-focused and it has nothing to do about thinking about anything work, I think is really helping. I can still improve on that, but I'm getting there. But that's where I probably struggle the most.
We have two mentors that might help you in that space, Allison, that were on our podcast before. Diane Dorsch, she is a swimmer herself too and has some connections there. And awesome. Marie, who is the former chief academic officer in Miami, who was also on our podcast. I think you both have a reality TV connection.
Perfect.
So another virtual mentor for you in this space.
Great.
Right? And of course, Keisha will always continue, right?
I'm connected because I also struggle with how to have self-care.
Yeah.
And how to say no. So yeah, I relate to that. Yeah, I relate to that immensely.
I think that's part of being the educator in us too.
Yeah.
Like educators want to take care of everybody else, and we like put everybody else first instead of us. But we can't take care of the other people if we don't take care of ourselves.
Oh, that's what Francis says all the time to me.
Aw.
I try to take care of you, Keisha.
She does. She sent Ella the most adorable unicorn outfit yesterday for her birthday.
Aww.
Oh my gosh. Ella was like, "Oh, mommy." I'm like, "Nope, we put that up. We have to wear that for your birthday." But
I think she needs to wear it.
I never think about doing things like that. I'm just so overwhelmed with, like, I guess being behind.
Yeah.
Well, Keisha, why don't we play a little game together? What do you think?
I think that sounds amazing. We do
awesome.
Have this kind of cool game that we play with our guest. And okay. It's kind of the last part of the podcast where we ask you a sentence and we ask you to complete it.
Okay.
Or a thought. And you can elaborate onto why you completed it that way too, if you want to. An event that changed my worldview.
I'd probably say we had a foreign exchange student that lived in Sweden, and then I went and stayed with her family for a year, and I think that just changed my whole perspective on life and just the world as we know it, and Just seeing a whole nother culture and being immersed in it, going to school there, living with the family from somewhere else. And so I think just traveling internationally or even domestically and just seeing how other people live their lives and just getting that global perspective gave me the open mind, and just kind of seeing how other cultures live was probably that one big event.
And you still do that today. She just got back from
Croatia. Yeah, all over Europe. Close.
You said we go on tour together.
Yes. Let's do it.
Yeah, so well, I love to travel. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I love when there's that point where you're like, I got to renew my passport because there's not enough pages left.
Yep.
So, great problem to have, right?
Yeah.
Well, I have one of those sentence finishers as well. So how about this one? I became a stronger person after.
Probably this past year kind of kicked my butt. I got Lyme disease, and it was just, Keisha was there with my struggles. I had to take literally hundreds of pills a day. It just was the toughest thing I've ever done, but I didn't, everybody's like, I would never be able to do that. And I don't know how I got through it, but I'm so grateful that I put in the time and the effort and the energy to really battle it. And I feel amazing now and feel just a whole new person. And so I think I think a lot of people would have quit, but it was worth it to get it done and deal with it. So
I would have quit. And the things that she had to drink and take.
So gross.
So gross. But you did it, and I'm so proud of you for it. I think it is, when we're faced with things like that, especially if it's health, so many people don't take care of themselves, their health. They may do yoga, but they don't eat right. You know what I'm saying? You just really looked at the whole 360 and were like, I got to do this. And
yeah.
I know it was super challenging. And then every time she traveled, they took her stuff.
They just take it. It was like, horrible.
Wait, I have this.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a nightmare.
That's true. And you're a better person for it. What about this one? My life improved when I...
I'll say it's still kind of in there. It kind of goes back to that self-care where I've been at certain jobs where it's like I just work 24/7. And like Keisha said, you're going to take care of one part of yourself. But really finding that work-life balance and knowing that, okay, if I don't answer these 5 emails tonight, it's not the end of the world kind of thing. I need to go swim or do something else. So I feel like a focus on me and prioritizing me has really improved my life a whole lot versus I'm the priority now versus the work, even though that's important too, but you've got to have balance.
You're very centered, definitely. And it's almost like that teacher planning, that backwards planning. Mm-hmm. We put Allison at the center. How do we focus on Allison 360? And then backwards design from making sure that all of that happens. Yes. Oh, my goodness. So how about this one? A decision that changed your life. Is there something you can pinpoint? You're like, wow, I can't believe that happened.
Yes. I was teaching middle school. And that's it takes a special person to love teaching middle school, and that was not me. Yes. And so I was in a long distance relationship and was going to move. Well, I did move to Kentucky, but my principal at the time was like, you're not coming back. You should resign versus take a leave of absence. And I did not like living in Kentucky. I was young and dumb. So came back, but I had quit, so I had to start all over and saw the, they were starting this, it was the first hybrid school in the country. And so saw that, got started there teaching and being an admin. It was a small school at the time. And that led me to back into the district because it took forever for them to get started. And they were starting their virtual school. And so if I never would have quit and left the district, like I probably would have just gone back and would still continue to be teaching in the classroom or gone a totally different path. And so I think when I came back, like it was meant for me to leave and come back because that's how I got into this field and my passion, like connecting the technology with the teaching, and just kind of from there, like there was just so many opportunities and doors just kept opening up. So that one little decision changed everything. And
but it sounds like there's been so many almost in some ways like serendipitous moments in your life, mm-hmm. but it's also been met with a really receptive mind from you to mm-hmm. say like, what are the possibilities here? And also just your incredible sense of efficacy. Like I can do this. Yeah, I got this mm-hmm. no matter what. And that you somehow, going back to your space connection, there's like a constellation of effort around you and you're this North Star that everybody just looks to. So I'm learning a lot about feedback loops in life. Yeah. And also the bravery in the opportunities that you seize. You know, Keisha, I know you know a lot about Allison. I've been, I think, blessed really to be a part of this conversation and be a little, you know, perhaps a little star in that constellation with you now. And I'm wondering, Keisha, like, what are you taking away? What's some of your learning lesson opportunities that you've had with Allison?
Well, you know, when you say the words fierce and formidable, I definitely think of Allison Powell, and she does it in this way that's just very quiet. You know how some people like just enter the space and they're like, hey, some people may say I do that, but Allison is just kind of, you know, she's just working the angle and working the space with a very kind of mild demeanor, and but things are moving. She's like water, you know, you look at it, it's beautiful, it sounds good, but it literally moves mountains. That's Allison. Oh, which goes with your swimming. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a phenomenal swim. Because you're really like the presence of water in my life.
Aw, you make me cry.
Somebody always has to cry on the honor roll. It's a rule. Usually me. Usually it's me, but I'm so, so happy that you were able to make it today. I know you're usually on a plane and traveling and doing all kinds of stuff.
Last night, so.
I know, but especially since things have opened up. It was so awesome during COVID because you weren't flying everywhere. Mm-hmm. But I'm just so thrilled that you were able to join us and be part of our time together.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Is there anything that you want to share with our audience that you haven't already said?
I think my best advice, I guess, I don't know, would be more about just somebody told me once, I think it was one of our first professors in my doctoral program was, he just said, life's all about relationships. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And I think that's kind of one of my superpowers is being that connector and just really getting to know people. Like, I don't know, I have some weird aura, like on airplanes. Yesterday I was trying to just watch a movie and the guy was like pulling on my headphone. He just wanted to talk. It was just like, just getting to know different people and their stories, whether they're in your field or not. I think that's the most important takeaway is just taking the time to get to know people, building those relationships, and then connecting them to other people, and that just builds your network and helps make the change.
That is a superhero quality, Allison. The opportunity to really be present in relationship with folks. You know, a great mentor said, as educators, we have no choice but to be a hero. The only choice we have is to decide what kind of hero we are going to be. Aww. And I think we've learned that you're the relationship hero. And so how fortunate we are to be in that space with you today. And, you know, as we help our listeners think about their voice and how they might be like water, Keisha, we always have a coaching question that they can linger with and, you know, maybe go for a walk with or, you know, maybe go grab some great coffee and continue the conversation. So, Allison, this question is in honor of you. And the coaching question for our audience, Keisha, is this. How might you be in this space, connecting to your astronaut idea, of being open, receptive, and innovative for yourself and others? Again, how might you be in the space of being open, receptive, and innovative for yourself and others?
That's Francis's superpower, is coming up with really incredible coaching questions that are related to our guest. And it never fails to surprise me how awesomely you do that, Francis.
Thank you, my friend.
But that's a really, really good one. And I think it's one that is going to challenge our audience, because I don't know that many people take the time on the with the word receptive. You know, a lot of people are good at talking and not that great at listening. So I like that question. And we can't thank you, Allison, enough for being part of our amazing honor roll. It is a community of super strong, super empowered, and super influential women. And you absolutely fit that bill. And so I really, really am thankful for you to be part of it and sharing your ability to develop relationships with all of our listeners. And I want to, speaking of our listeners, invite them to join our next podcast, where we're going to be highlighting another Shero in education and exploring their powers of M's. And don't forget to follow our hashtag TL Honor Roll, ROLE, and respond to the coaching questions Francis just shared. Until then,
be fierce
and be formidable.
The Tech and Learning's Honor Roll podcast is produced by Keisha Ray, Francis Gibson, and Christine Weiser. Audio production by Mitchell Tulin and AV Nation. Tech and Learning's Honor Roll theme music is by Madison Van Gundy. Find more episodes on techlearning.com and follow us at hashtag TL Honor Roll. That's TL Honor, ROLE.